Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with Awareness Practice Embodied. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Sorry about the phone ringing in the background there.
I didn't hear it.
Just as I was unmuted, one of the landlines started to ring. But at any rate, I thought we'd start with just a little bit of background for folks who may not. We have had some other folks on talking about this topic, but so Awareness Practice Embodied is a tool that we started using here at the monastery somewhere around, I'd say, the middle of last year. It's something that Sherry wrote about also in the practice blog in December. She called it the 7 steps to practice integrity. And it's been such a powerful, practical tool that we use taking the kind of content, the things that happen in our everyday lives, as a chance to practice with transcending suffering. And so because it's been so powerful, we have a commitment that we want to regularly invite someone on to Good News to talk about their experience of working with it. So thanks for being with us this afternoon to do that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love talking about this.
It's great, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So where shall we start?
Yeah, maybe you could just tell us about kind of what, you know, either lay out a little bit about the structures of it, or maybe that, you know, if you have an example that you wanted to talk about as you talk about the impact it's had on your practice, that would be fine too. But in some way, we want to be sure people kind of get the sense of how to practice with it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll lay out an example that dropped in, and I bet we can, together, we can sort of underline the steps as we go through.
Great.
So, first of all, I'll just say that it's a process that we build into our weekly schedule. So we do that together as the residents, and therefore we get to learn from each other in that way. But it's also something that I build in, or anyone could build into their recording and listening practice to have a set time. To really look at this feels like it's a valuable way to a valuable regular addition to one's practice regimen, and so the one of the examples is, I mean, I have so many, but one of my favorite ones came through a role that I have here at the monastery around food, and so it was around the famous tomatoes. So there were some tomatoes that were in my care that began to spoil. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, I think, having to compost 3 or 4 of them. And mm-hmm. so the first step of the model is to, When we see something that we didn't do, or we didn't, you know, we forgot or whatever, to not go to feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's the very first step. So there were these tomatoes that I wished I had watched more carefully and didn't, and there they were, not usable. And so the first thing would be, to feel bad, for that would be the karmically conditioned response. But because we had this, I had sort of the wherewithal to go, here's a good one. here's a good place that I would have normally felt bad and not go in there.
Yeah, we could almost say the commitment. It's my commitment to myself, to practice, to the community. I'm not feel bad. Okay, not an option. What's next?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is the really great question, because what's next is an opening that is absolutely unachievable or unavailable mm-hmm. if feeling bad fills that space.
Uh-huh.
This to me is like the miracle of one of the many miracles of Zen awareness practice. Is the
uh-huh.
so for me with the tomatoes, what happened when I didn't go to feel bad was I could really see the impact of not having tended them carefully. And it touched my heart. I mean, it touched my heart so tenderly and poignantly, you know, to have seen what happened. That, boy, if feeling bad had filled that space, it would have just been ugly, and I would have missed that kind of tender beauty pain. I don't know. It's a mixture of all of those kinds of things, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I do, absolutely. Yeah. So in that, instead of the feeling bad would have had it be all about you, right? A very egocentric time of process. Whereas when you let that go and you were open to the next thing, what happened was a deep care was revealed.
Yes, and it was really about receiving the impact of my, in this case, inaction, right? In a way that is totally not egocentric. It's much more communal and, you know, interwoven, and, you know, we are all one. And so, so that was really touching. And then I think the next step in the whole process is to communicate anything that needs to be communicated about that. So we're not trying to hide it, hope nobody notices, you know, throw them in the compost bin real quickly. I mean, you know, none of that. It's to take responsibility. And so that was what the next step was. And in doing that, what the benefit to me in my practice was that it busts the illusion of a separate self. Because when we communicate, we get to involve others in what's happening.
Because that leaves us in a place of, it's not up to me, it's not about me. I can receive guidance, whether, as you said, you know, it's in a monastic setting, that might be quite literal, the monastery, but through recording and listening, life is constantly offering us guidance. So instead of staying in my little me cave, right, feeling bad or covering something up, instead we take that every opportunity to realize, wow, you know, it's the short recitation that we say, we'll use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering, which is exactly what you're describing. So there are those tomatoes, and you realize this is an opportunity to end suffering.
And, you know, I was reading quotes the other day about living in community, and one just dropped in as we were talking, and it said something like, the definition of living in community is everyone is responsible, no one is to blame. And I just love that, because it speaks to, so in communicating, it is, I don't know, it just somehow embodies that. So, so then moving into, because I want to get to the kind of the change in behavior, because I love this one. In the process, then we look for a change in behavior that will help support us in being present, especially in particular content, you know, that in this case with the care of the fruits and vegetables. And so what I do now is I say good morning to the tomatoes every time I go in the pantry. And I go in the pantry a lot because it's a part of my role, and I get aprons and stuff there. And not only the tomatoes, but I noticed that it's spread now, and it's such a greeting. It's a way of seeing these beautiful gifts that we have, not as just, oh, something I have to watch and take care of, and then I'm going to chop it. You know, they're part of life. They're part of the gift of life here, and so to just interact with them on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day basis, you know, just to, it has had the effect of really expanding my awareness. And shrinking the, first of all, the interest in a conversation, because being with those beautiful items is so much more interesting and lovely than being in a conversation, which is took me a while to prove that to myself, right? And so it just allows the awareness to expand to include more of the beauty. And so, you know, the human is a real winner, and maybe even the fruits and vegetables are the real winner in this too. But it does seem to help the whole situation.
Amen. I love that. shrinking the interest in the conversation.
Yeah.
That's great. I just love that. And because what you describe is such a, I was thinking of that, is it the George Carlin quote, you know, we have to greet everyone on the planet? Like,
yeah.
that should be our, because, right, then we go, well, we're going to go to war with so-and-so. Well, we can't go to war with so-and-so. Those are my friends. Right?
Yeah, I know those
and
people.
So, I know those people. Those are my friends. And so I just had that image of, you know, what you're talking about is having done this process with the tomatoes and that very first fundamental step you talked about of not going to feeling bad opened up this whole other world of seeing, wow, with attention, when things are held in conscious, compassionate awareness, it's like, it's almost like the way you describe it, the behavior change is a natural outgrowth of that.
Yes.
That just by taking that first step of not feeling bad, but staying in awareness, training ourselves to stay in conscious, compassionate awareness, the whole world of other possibilities of how we can be with ourselves and everything around us outside of suffering just reveals itself to us.
Yes, yes. And it's such a, one thing, because I know we're up against the time, but the thing mm-hmm. about when I first heard that step of behavior change, conditioning takes it to, oh, a modification. You know, I've got to do something. Or
fix
I've
it.
Got, it's sort of
right.
a burden, you know, or in a way a little bit punitive too. You know, there's a little punitive nature to it when I look to conditioning. But when I
right.
look to life, it's a behavior change that is for the human. It's for Rebecca and for all, right?
Exactly.
And so I can tell whether the behavior change when I'm doing this process, I can tell whether it's kind of it or not by
yeah.
whether it feels punitive or whether it feels like a possibility. And
yep.
And that's a real fun place to sort of play with as well in the whole process.
Yeah, it really is. And then as you're saying that, it just reminds me of one of the great gifts of this process, which is that instead of sort of that living in fear that something's going to go wrong, right? What am I going to forget
mm-hmm.
or what's going to, it's, we no longer have that relationship of fear with it, of dread, of whatever it is, because if everything truly is an opportunity to continue to wake up, then we're eager for all of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad you made that point, because that was something that was dropping in big time for me, too, that it is it has absolutely turned on its head, this
yep.
whole notion of doing, and my fingers are making big quote marks, doing something wrong. That is just totally obliterated that
yeah.
notion.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
great. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for being with us this afternoon. That was great.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, as I turn it over to you and Sherry, just a reminder, if you want to practice that process for themselves, it's in Sherry's blog, which you can get to by going to the main Living Compassion website, livingcompassion.org, and then there's the eight-spoked wheel, and I think it's the section with the butterfly. If you click on that, it says the teacher, the guide, and there's a section there that has read. Things you can read that Sherry's written, that will take you to the practice blog, and it was in December of last year that process is laid out.
Great. So the Living Compassion homepage, click on the butterfly, and then the
yep.
guide, and then read.
And then read, yep.
Perfect.
All right.
And then the seven
Good.
Steps are all laid out.
The seven steps are all laid out. Freedom
Wonderful.
Ahead.
Freedom ahead. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
Great, great. How are you?
Good. I love that conversation.
Yes,
I
me
love
too.
That. Yeah.
Yes.
No feeling bad and not feeling bad. Feeling bad, you know, people, especially in this culture, maybe people forever and all around the world are so devoted to punishment makes people better. Feeling bad keeps people good. If you don't feel bad, then you won't be good. And it's just such a load of crapola. And the fact of the matter is, just as Rebecca laid out, when we don't feel bad, it just opens this beautiful portal for life to teach us everything that we never got to learn about what really happens when we do something we shouldn't do.
Yes.
Lovely.
And to me, the beauty of practice is that it's not a theory. You know, we have the direct experience of it. We see how our behavior changes as a result when we bypass feeling bad. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, we have all the tools, all the practices. There's nothing to guess about. That's the best part of this practice. Right? There's nothing to guess about. You want to know how it works? Step one, step two, step three, step... There it is. It's all laid out there. We can prove it to ourselves, have our own experience. It's Zen, you know, direct experience. Doesn't matter. Somebody else's idea or theory doesn't mean squat. What is meaningful to us is our own direct experience. And when we're present and we have that experience, we're forever changed. Then nothing, we don't have to watch ourselves or worry about ourselves. Oh, if I listen to those voices, I'm going to become a bad, selfish, egocentric, indulgent person. No, that's what I was. Now, I don't have to worry about that because I am open-heartedly looking forward to being guided and directed by life. So it's much, 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 much better.
Yes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some announcements here.
All right, good.
Okay. Join you, Sherry, and Ashwini in a workshop in Asheville, North Carolina on May 7th for an exploration of the teachings in your latest book, The Big Bamboozle.
Yes. So there are still places in that retreat, and I would really encourage people to get there. It's a beautiful place. I read the list of people already signed up for that retreat. I can't believe I am fortunate enough to go and spend days with this group of people. And then on top of that, we have good food. It's you know, it's beautiful. It's heaven on earth. So if anybody is dawdling and dinking around, saying, well, should I? You should. Just get on there, click on there, and come and join us. It's going to be fun.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, that's interesting because my focus there was on the Malaprop event.
You know, I wondered about that, Michael. I have to say I kind of stumbled and missed a beat there. So help me out. Okay.
Sure. So May 7th is the Malaprops event, and there's no registration required. And you were talking about the retreat, which is May 2nd or 7th.
That's it.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yep.
So the one is on the Big Bamboozle, but the 2nd through the 7th, what's the focus of that one?
That's the Jataka Tales Retreat.
Oh, praise the Buddha. I thought, okay, I'm in big trouble here. Fortunately, I can let go because I've just lost my mind. So Jataka Tales first on retreat. Everybody can come to that.
Yeah.
And then certainly everybody can come to Malaprops that Saturday night after the retreat and talk to us there. Yeah. Good.
Yes. And they can just show up because no registration is required. So that's great.
That's right. And we'd love it if they would.
Yes. And a new email class, Enneagram and Relationships, will focus on how suffering is created and maintained in our most challenging relationships, and how awareness can help us move toward authentic connection. And this class starts May 13th, so sign up today. Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yes. And foundational There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat will be in North Carolina, June 30th through July 7th. And it offers an opportunity to do the compassionate and courageous work of freeing oneself from the ravages of conditioning and self-hate.
Yes. At that same beautiful location.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Same gorgeous place. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And this retreat is perfect for beginners and can be repeated any number of times.
That's right. And by the way, since you say that, the Jataka tales are perfect for beginners too. Even though we're talking about the lives of the Buddha, you know, I mean, we only look at the lives of Buddhas so that we can see our own lives, right? So it's not like we have to have any esoteric information about the life of the historical Buddha. You know, it's all going to come back to us because it's that direct experience thing again. So,
Yes. And for these and all other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And I think it's time to talk to our caller, Sherry.
All right. I agree with you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff from South Dakota.
Oh, hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, Sherry. I have some issues I want to get your insight on, but first I do want to thank you for your incredibly clear books and these this gift to mankind, these long archives of many years, and you know, thanks to Michael too. I mean, like 12, 13, 14 years of this is just wow, what a treasure trove. So I've just been
thank you, that's good.
It is. I've just read your first book about 4 months ago and have been going through several of them and listening to archives. And why I'm calling is to get your thoughts on, I feel very stuck in a job that I'm currently in. And I'm 56 and I've had a history of jobs that were, I always thought that they were kind of jobs where I was doing some good for people or society, like being or teaching psychology and being a social worker and running a unprofitable health food store for a number of years, and then went into journalism because I thought I could help with the media, which I saw was, I didn't think was emphasizing the positive enough, and also kind of a history of bad bosses, and I see that process over the years. And then about 2 years ago, I quit my job as a newspaper reporter because the boss was just really a terrible boss and didn't. Was kind of, well, everyone ended up quitting because he just was kind of brought in by a big corporation, I think, to kind of cut costs and just it was not a good experience. But anyway, 2 years ago, then I said to myself, well, I'm not going to have another bad boss. So I knew a very good boss that was like at, but he ran a farm store. I'm up here in South Dakota, and agriculture is a big deal here, and so I've been doing that temporarily, but then it's turned into like 2 years, and you know, it's I'm very it's very physical work, it's very in that way, but it's a good boss and it's fair. But it's not really using my skills, and I don't know where to go with it. Usually I've had some sort of passion that I pursued, and then now I just, I've applied to lots of different jobs just so I wouldn't have to do the physical labor, but none of those have turned out. So I'm just in a kind of a stuck place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a couple of questions for you. Does it feel like the physical labor is good for you, or does it feel like it's too much?
The first year, it felt good because I'd just been you know, doing a lot of writing and computer stuff, and so it was kind of got me in shape. I lost a little weight and felt better, but now it's like too much.
Really too much. Because the reason I'm asking you this is that this is the kind of thing that I watch happen with people. So there's something that you're passionate about, and now this is just all of us, okay? Don't take this personally. This something happens to all of us. So you know, something comes to us that is interesting that we would like to pursue, and we see all the really good stuff about it, right? And then when we get into it, we realize, well, there may be that good stuff, but then there's all this other stuff that we hadn't thought about or hadn't noticed or weren't aware of or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we begin to move from all of the excitement, the positive, this to a focus on everything that's not working that we don't like about it. And then the same process happens over again, right? Mm-hmm. And we believe, there's a deep belief in an awful lot of people that it's important to do something meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. Something that causes us to feel a particular way that we want to feel. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes. And,
yeah.
I probably have a little more of that because I have, I was raised with Catholic guilt, and I am not practicing or Catholic anymore, but that there's that sense of kind of salvation where you can kind of work your way to heaven, sort of thing. And I know Buddhism isn't that way, which is one of the things I like about.
Well, we do a modified version of that. Yeah. Yeah. And
well,
so
get to enlightenment.
Yeah, so you feel that there's a combination of that, right? That you want to do, sounds like your heart is drawn to being helpful and good and that sort of thing, but there's also a little bit of, and it's the right thing, the right good person thing to do. There's that element too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And so now you've been doing, so you're worn out with all of that, right? And mm-hmm. and it hasn't panned out, and people are not generally speaking upbeat and kind, and especially when we get in a position of authority, it can sometimes bring out the worst in us. And so so there you are. So now you get, what do you want? You want a job that doesn't just ring you out, and a boss who's kind, and now you've got this one. But then here comes the other part of it. Now I want something that what? What is this next one going to do for you? What do you want out of this job that you're looking for?
That's kind of the stuck place. I often kind of go retreat back to what my skill sets are and the kind of things that I'm better at, but then I
you've had that experience.
That's what I've done. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You've done that. So
yeah.
Would you actually? Because it's funny. I just spent some time with my daughter who I'll tell you very briefly her deal. So she does a job, and then she gets an idea that she would like to do something else. So she gets a degree in that, and she does that, and then she gets bored with it, and then tired of it or whatever, and then she comes up with something else. And she's done this so many times. Now she's managed to work herself into this incredibly high-pressured, stressful job. And what she realizes now is, she wants to go back to that original job that she started out in that she considered boring, because at this point she in her life she's ready to be bored. Okay, there are all these other things she'd like to do with her life that aren't career focused, and so if her job is a little bit boring, then she's not going to at the end of the day be so exhausted that she can't do the things that her heart is calling her to do. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's where this is. So now you've got this job. It sounds like it pays okay, And it's not terribly taxing, except physically, and you work for somebody who's a good boss. So what's missing? If you had the good boss and the job that doesn't put you in that place of you're trying to save the world and it's not working, and you didn't have to do something that's so physically taxing, would that do it?
Well, the two things that come up is one is if it is the money thing is I don't need a lot of money, but it's not like a real high paying job, so it cuts down on things that I like have as a goal that I want to do, like come to your retreat. I have that as a goal, but it's going to take a while to save that at the current rate of pay that I make. And then the physical part of it is just, I mean, it's better than being emotionally wrung out. I like that, but mm-hmm. it's like, well, to be a whiner, but it's like today, it's 40 degrees and rainy, and I worked outside all day doing stuff, and that's just tough unless you're like a young guy and stout, mm-hmm. and I'm not overly.
And you're neither of those at this point.
Yeah, I'm not young and not stout.
Yeah. So you want a homework assignment?
I do.
Okay, because this is. You're at that place, it seems to me, I project, where it's sort of whatever direction you turn, conditioned mind has something that it's going to offer you to make you unhappy. And so it seems like it would be helpful for you to determine not just what you want, but what you're willing for.
What I'm willing for.
Yes. So you've done the thing, your skill set, right? You've explored those various kinds of jobs. Mm-hmm. You've been with various kinds of bosses. Mm-hmm. You've done mentally stressful, emotionally stressful, and now physically stressful work.
Mm-hmm.
What combination of things is most important to you?
Mm. Okay.
Okay. Because you've got to, if you're not careful, you'll just go with conditioned mind around in circles. Because whatever you come up with, there's going to be one of those things that is a desire not met. Okay, right. So you can do this job, but it doesn't pay enough. You can do that job where the pay is good, but the structure of the environment isn't good. This job you could do, but then you're so sedentary that you're going to gain back that weight and lose all that fitness. But in this job, it would have this component that you would really like, but then there would be that negative to it. So when you sit with it, and I'm not asking you to analyze it. You know me well enough by now to know that, right? I don't want you to figure out anything. I want you to practice being as present and still as you can, listening as carefully and watching as closely as you can, and just know that the intelligence animating you, wisdom, love, and compassion that is you, mm-hmm. is going to inform you as to a direction.
Yeah,
and
that
then
would be wonderful.
That is going to be wonderful, and it's going to happen. I can give you that guarantee. And as you go through that process, you'll call me again and let me know how you're doing. And we'll take another step.
I would love that. That's
great.
An honor for me.
I would too. I would love that too. So we'll talk before long.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Thank you and good night.
Yeah, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. It's great to have a first-time caller there, Sherry.
Yeah, from South Dakota.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. indeed. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Second caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, yay. This is my first time, and I didn't know I had to hit the little unmute thing, but thank goodness, you know, there was something inside that said, hey, hit that button.
And you know what? That something inside is what we're looking for, so you just found it. First rattle out of the box here, so this is very, very good.
How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm another first-time caller, so, and I wanted to share.
And your name is, and you are from?
Yes, my name is Nancy, and
Nancy?
I am from Maryland.
From where?
Maryland. Annapolis, Maryland.
Michael. Oh, Maryland. Annapolis, Maryland. Okay, good. I was just getting sort of the last part of the Maryland. All right. Well, welcome. Glad to have you with us, Nancy. What's going on?
Thank you, Sherry. Well, I wanted to share something wonderful, and this is a little experience that came about on the International Day of Self-Hate, which seemed really, really
no
great.
No self-hate, right? International Day of No Self-Hate, just to underline that no, right? Yeah, I'm right with you.
Thank you. Yes, a little nervous mm-hmm. here, apparently. It seemed a really great tribute and kind of a really nice happy birthday. So I wanted to share this.
Good.
The content around this is I was diagnosed with cancer about 5 years ago. And it's taken that long wrangling with conditioning and self-hate and a lot of other content over this particular piece of content to finally realize that having cancer and making a commitment to healing for me is identical to making the commitment to the practice of ending suffering.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's like this very deep commitment to this being to stay awake in compassionate awareness for as long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
The important piece for me truly seems to be that the cancer is no different from unconsciousness. In fact, it seems identical to it in every way, at least in my experience of it. It's just this realization brought up such amazing gratitude in it. it somehow it feels like I'm experiencing this thing going on in my body for all beings, healing for all beings, practice for all beings. Living in unconditional love for this being and all beings. It's so ironic that the very thing I wanted most to push away and get rid of and just couldn't see the point of, it's the very thing that finally woke me up.
I couldn't see the value. Right. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, my God, that is so huge, isn't it? It is so It's an awareness that actually can't be communicated. So my teacher used to talk about this sort of thing, and he would say, if you've never tasted an avocado, and I'm going to try to tell you what an avocado is like, what it's like to eat an avocado, it's just not going to go anywhere. He was much more articulate than this, but this is sort of a version of it. But if you've eaten an avocado, and I've even eaten an avocado, and we both love avocados, then all we have to do is say to one another, avocado, and we both go there, right? We know the experience. And that's what this is, right? Maybe you ran into people who tried to tell you that it's going to be the thing that you would fear most, dread most, resist most, that would be your saving grace. And you would go, yeah, okay, sure. And then you're in that position. If somebody tried to tell you, oh, this cancer is very possibly the best thing that ever happened to you, if you didn't get angry at them, you would be a truly remarkable person, right? Because it, in that situation, at that moment, it would actually be a cruel thing to say to somebody.
Oh, yes, yes.
But then you have the experience, right? You have the experience. And you think, oh, my gosh, what would my life have been like if this had never happened? Wouldn't that have been tragic? Because I could have very possibly gone through my whole life asleep, wasted a whole beautiful, perfect human incarnation asleep. And this is what it took to wake me up. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yes. That big Zen board that hits you upside the head is exactly the right size, right?
Yeah, exactly the right size. Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Mm.
Mm. Well, I want to say thank you for this practice. I've been practicing for a rather long time, and actually rather alone. I've been through a really interesting period of letting go of a lot of attachment. My husband passed away 6 years ago. My mom passed away. We lost our home. Taking care of a couple kids, and it's again, thank God for this practice. It has allowed life to live itself, and me to somehow kind of over and over get back to that place, and it hasn't always been seamless. Let's put it that way.
Oh no! Oh no! No,
I don't.
Or easy, or fun, or uplifting, or exciting. Again, my teacher, this is the kind of thing he would say, that when somebody came to him and wanted to practice, he said inside would come up tears of joy that somebody has reached this point of awakening that they know they want consciously to be on a path of ending suffering. And at the same time, the tears of sadness for everything that they were going to have to go through on that journey.
Right, yes.
Right? Both true.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most painful, difficult experience of one's life and the most joyful.
Yes. So lovely how the duality is held there together in one hand, you know, in both hands, this and that, and it becomes one.
Yes, the paradox of Zen, right? That's what that's referred to. Because for conditioned mind, how can both of those be true? That can't possibly be true. They are both true. Yeah, and when we get there, all we can do is laugh.
Oh, yes.
It's all we can do. It's all that's left to us is just to laugh.
Yes. Yes, I just did the last intensive, and I think there was something in it about the deep, blissful Zen laugh or something, and that's not exactly what it was, but I remember thinking, yes, that is just, that's about letting it all go.
Yes.
Oh, right. Sherry, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for
your practice and for being here every week. And, oh, my gosh, for the archives. Oh, what a blessing. All of it.
As my teacher said, he's very much a part of this call tonight, there is no reason to be bored. Right? we have practice available to us around the clock. Right? We can wake up in the middle of the night. And we can be immersed in practice at the flip of a switch or the touch of a button or whatever. So, yes, we are extraordinarily blessed. And I bet I could say for both of us, profoundly grateful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
All right. Well, lovely to have you with us. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Sherry. I won't. And okay, well, good evening, and happy birthday. Belated.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. That was an amazing conversation, Sherry. What a great privilege for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes. And now we're going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
I think it's a perfect time. We can all just be with that. So perfect time.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I have an update about the Jataka Tales retreat.
Oh, goody.
Yes. So if you're interested in the Jataka Tales retreat, you won't find the registration link on the website. So write to the registration office, and we welcome your application for that.
Oh, registration is closed, I guess, huh?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. All right. Thank you.
Perfect. And let's find us another caller here. How about that? Okay. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Megan from Michigan.
Well, hello, Megan. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing really, really well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Having a lovely life.
I know. It's an amazing life. This has been a wonderful a show tonight. It always is, but I've been feeling so much gratitude, and I wanted to report back.
Oh, good.
A few months ago, I had called in, looking at some ways to incorporate recording and listening throughout my day with my kids. And you had suggested to actually just, start doing it with them and looking at, whatever process we were in, mostly it's play, right, but the process of whatever we were doing and sort of seeing what that was like, because I was getting information from conditioning that was saying, they're a distraction or whatever it was, it was a bunch of horse pucky, basically. And so just, really, showing it for what it was. And so I wanted to let you know what I've seen so far as a result of that.
Oh, good.
It's been awesome.
Good. Oh, good.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's been because I've just gotten to add more and more each day, we'll do a little bit. So a few of the things that have occurred was that one, was that it was absolutely, it was a great way to see, again, that it doesn't matter the content. When I'm listening back, again, it's just the process. We could have been doing anything, or I could have been with myself. It doesn't matter who or what. Being in presence, with presence, is just, it is, and it is so amazing.
Uh-huh. Yes. So, yeah. So when we were talking a little bit ago about the archives of this show, that's the experience that people have. You know, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. As soon as you tune into it, the energy just drops into that place, and there we are.
Yes.
We're practicing, we're centered, and so the same thing with this, with the recording and listening. You know, people know in the beginning, well, what do we talk about, or what do I say?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we give ideas about it, but actually it doesn't matter. You know, you're with your best friend, and you're talking. It doesn't matter what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you're with your best friend, and you're in unconditional love. That's what matters. So, yes, tell us
more.
That's right. Yeah, with the little people.
So then with these guys, it was great. So there's been things that are happening for them with this. And then things that were, so I noticed I was doing the same process, which I've done with other things because of practice, which is so great, which is starting with the easier time where we're just having a really good time and playing and recording that. And then life dropped in, well, why don't you just pull out the recorder while you're transitioning out the door? That used to be kind of a more of a difficult situation, and see what's happening there. And not because you have to fix it or anything, but just see what's happening. And it was like complete, like it was a game changer because there was a heightened, there was just awareness. And so, I mean, I found myself at one point saying to my daughter, who's four, you know, I am so grateful for this moment where you are, you know, I'm projecting you're having a hard time figuring out which shoes you want to wear, and I'm watching some, you know, a story coming up saying that we need to make this go faster. Like, and I said, you know, I'm just, thank you for letting me see this. And just seeing all the gratitude that was, you know, that just, the gift that was right there. And then for my daughter, saying, Mom, I'm feeling really, you know, there was something she said to me, like, I'm getting upset. Like, I don't want to wear this jacket. This is another day. And I don't know how, and I said, okay. And she's like, and I feel like you don't love me, you know? And I said, wow, I'm really grateful for you, you know, letting me know that. She's like, and I feel like nobody else is going to love me. So, well, that is a really helpful story to see, you know. And I said, let's see if we can drop it. And she was like, I can't right now.
Well,
that's
I can't
okay.
right now. Oh.
Which how many times have we, you know, I mean, conditioning will go up and be like, well, I can't stop being mad, right?
And
then just her being able to say that. She just,
oh God,
her whole body relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And without that conversation, I mean, we know that in ourselves, right? And we suspect it in our children, right? That that if she weren't allowed to say that, there were no vehicle for her saying that, that's just going to stay inside, and conditioning is just going to start building on it.
Yeah.
So by the time she's 12 years old, it's convinced her that nobody loves her, nobody ever will. And then this is how she should be in the world as a reaction to that reality. And my goodness gracious. Yeah.
So scary.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was so, and it was then I could say, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful that you're letting me know that so I love you, you know, unconditionally. And I went unconscious because I was trying to have you, you know, even though I was speaking in a kind way, there was something in there trying to push to make her choose
and she could feel it.
Or the red coat. And she totally could feel it.
Yeah.
So it's been so great to sort of, so now I'm looking at, okay, I can say kind things, and I'm putting that in quotations, right? Like there's no yelling, but, you know, where is this push coming from? Of course it's conditioning. So I get to slow it down even more for me. And then on the other hand, she's super getting into the recorder. Like she's walking around now. She's talking about how it's Earth Day, so they were doing some things at her school, and so she came home and she's talking about all the ways she loves to want, she wants to take care of the Earth and how the Earth takes care of us. She spent 15 minutes on the recorder talking about this.
Wow.
Yes. then she went around and she decided she wanted to talk about all the things she loved about the house. Just in case we leave.
I do that.
I know. I totally thought about you.
One of my favorite practices.
That's right, you know. Right? And so yeah. Even my 20-month-old, he's now, he'll go over the phone and he'll say, he'll start trying to push it. And I'm like, you want to record? And he's like, yes. And so he starts saying hi and he's talking to the recorder. And, you know, and it's like so magical and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have watched conditioning try and come in a little bit and be like, well, we should have a record. You know, nope. We're letting this unfold. And finally, you know, we can keep working with her on different things when she's getting, she can have a lot of energy about things sometimes, which we all do. But how to help her,
yeah.
You know, help with, you know, work with
yeah.
That so she doesn't get so scared of it. You
well,
know, so she can
well,
the, you know,
yes.
Use it in a way that's helpful for her.
There's that aspect of it, and then there's the awareness
mm-hmm.
practice aspect of it for you.
Yeah.
Because I
yes.
walk around the world, I'm sure you do too, hearing parents do exactly what you're describing. And as a kid, it has to make you crazy because
mm-hmm.
all of the energy is, would you just put on your coat and get out the door? Would you, sweetie, would you put on your coat now? And the kid is there going, oh my gosh, I
yeah.
you know, my parent is completely insane and terrifying. But I can't do anything about it because I'm a little
mm-hmm.
kid trapped in these circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in their little kid brains, they're making whatever sense they're making out of this. And again, conditioning is right there to interpret everything for them.
That's right.
So your
yep.
mother hates you, and she pretends
yep.
like she likes you.
Yeah.
And then by the time they become teenagers, we wonder where that stuff comes from. Why do my kids say, I hate them? You know, I don't hate my kids, but you got to hear what was going on in your voice that was
yes.
communicating that. What is that how you
yes.
felt? God, no, that's not how you felt.
No.
But that's
no.
how it sounded to her.
That's
that
right.
is incredibly
yes.
helpful.
It is so helpful. And I, again, I'm so grateful for the show and for the practice and for you and for all the tools to be able to say this is what I'm looking at, and then to get the guidance to then the willingness to try it, and then this whole world
yeah.
opened, you know?
Yes,
I mean, it was
yes,
like
yes.
Right? Like, this is happening.
Yeah.
So I would like to attend to it. You know, it reminded me of the awareness embodied, like, okay, so I could feel bad about it, but I'm not going to, because I really want to pay attention to this. Like, something's
yeah,
happening,
yeah.
and I really want to
yeah.
do, I want to honor, you know,
well,
this
awareness.
It's sacred. Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm so grateful.
And as you know, I mean, one of, somebody said to me just yesterday, I said something about recording and listening, and they said, And I just heard you say this is the thing you're most passionate about since discovering Buddhism. And
nice.
And it's true for exactly this reason. My
mm-hmm.
gosh, if little people can grow up in that kind of conscious awareness, where everybody in the family is processing in the moment authentically what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, they can hit puberty and they know that there is something else available. They don't have
yes.
to leave their hearts in order to try
That's
to
right.
survive the world. I don't know,
yes.
maybe not, but gosh,
maybe
it's
not.
Worth a
but
shot.
They might have a better chance. Yes, exactly.
They might have a better chance,
yes.
exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
And that, I'm grateful to be able to utilize, like, she's so clear. Like, she gets hit with things, but she's still willing to say things out loud
Yeah.
And call things out for, you know, what she's seeing and be really clear about that. And I'm so grateful to have a practice to support me to hear her, you know, and it's not all the time, but I'm hearing, you know, more and more and hear life speaking, you know, through this being and through her and through, you know, my other child. Like, it's just, and even my husband, you know, like, we're all, like, just, to have that, there and to keep working on, you know, to keep cultivating that. So I'm going to keep seeing, you know, what's possible with that. And in particular, pausing, because I can, for me, for my practice, I can watch where it sometimes wants to come in with, you know, I know. Like, you don't know. So I think that's a really big thing.
Well, and of course, I hope you'll keep taking good notes. Because as this expands, you know, we want more and more information about kids, about families, about couples, about, you know, grown kids and their parents, everybody, how this tool can be used to help us get back to authenticity, to break through those layers of karmic conditioning and find that freedom.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
yeah.
I will. I'll
gratitude
definitely keep thinking, even like, thank you. Thanks to you too. I even like looking for recorders, you know, for little people, you know, so I'll keep notes on that too, because we've been going through a couple different things to try and get something in our hands that will, you know, records for longer periods and also can't break.
Yeah.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's good.
I'll
4-year old proof.
Right.
Yeah. There's a new product to come on the market. Somebody will do it.
That's right. That's right. We'll put it out there. Exactly.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I'll be in touch, and thanks again. Take
all
care.
Good.
Take
okay.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Megan. Well, that was a mind-blowing conversation, Sherry.
Wasn't that fun?
Wow.
Oh.
4 years old.
Ah, 4 years old. Yeah. Practice and awareness. Yeah.
Process.
I mean, they always have been, right? Kids, until we know that, until our karmic conditioning and self-hate interferes with their ability to be present. And now, you know, they can help bring us along and we can all work together and maybe get to adulthood with fewer scars, more kindness.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I just loved that whole conversation. You know, Megan's commitment and her passion and the experimentation and taking the guidance and running with it. And it's just great.
Yeah. 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 Inspires all of us, huh?
Yes. And I think we have time for one more call here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jenny from New Mexico.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
What's going on?
Just something minor to start with. I just noticed the physical pain of, like, that conditioning can do to the body. Like, if you're really paying attention, like, you're watching it, one thing I've noticed is, like it has, like, something that it does in your mind. Like, it's got access to your memories. And so, like, it remembers physical pain from, like, a while ago, you know? Like, one time I noticed, like, where they do, you know, when you go to the dentist and they give you those shots?
Ooh,
like,
yes.
For me, it felt very, very, very subtle. But I, like, noticed, I was like, why is that hurting? And I was like, I wonder if that's conditioning. Just bringing back that pain, like, that memory of that pain. And it was very brief, but I noticed it the other day as well. I went to give blood, donate blood, and they prick your finger to check your iron. And they also put a needle in your arm to draw the blood from. And I mean, that's just normal. And it doesn't bother me that much, you know. I mean, it's not like that big of a deal for me at all. But, I noticed it, like, I guess the other day with, it's been about a week. And I noticed that finger was hurting exactly where they pricked it to take the iron. it's like brief, but I was just like, that. I wonder if that's just conditioning, bringing back that pain. And then I noticed that where they draw the blood, that needle stick, like it kind of burned this time a little. It's always really different. And again, it doesn't really bother me, but I just noticed, I was like, that's hurting again. And then it would go away. And I noticed it like off and on. And I was like, is that just conditioning, you know, messing with us, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny when you describe the Novocaine going in, I felt it. I was going with you as you, because I project. In your mind, you were having that experience, feeling that what it's like when that needle goes in and the Novocaine goes in and that sort of thing. And I was focusing on the right back side of my mouth, and I was feeling the, because that's the last place I had it, and I was feeling the needle go in and the Novocaine go in and that sort of thing. And so very often, just turning our attention, so, you know, you weren't doing it intentionally, but I was going with you, and you were directing my attention. Oh. And as I turned my attention to that experience and you were describing it, I was having the experience.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what you're observing with this, that what happens when you turn your attention to something. So as we're going around in life, just there are various things that just kind of go through the thoughts, like clouds in the sky. You know, that's the image that's often used in Buddhism. And just different things, random sorts of things pop up and memories, and you can't really tell where they come from. You know, was it maybe a smell or a sight or the, you know, there's a certain feel in the air, or what is it that triggers whatever that is, and then we have an experience associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right.
So is it intentional? I don't know. Would conditioning, we could say, take advantage of that? Sure.
Yeah.
So if it's a needle and there's pain, and say you're a person who is really bothered by needles, then you gave blood, that's okay, but then it might take you to another time when you had a shot or there was a needle involved, and it was a traumatic situation, and then those connections just start being made, right? And then pretty soon we find ourselves in a suffering place, and if you're paying attention, you can see the chain of events and how you got from place to place. But of course, we're conditioned not to be paying attention like that. We're supposed to be, you know, distracted into something else, and then all of a sudden we wind up in a suffering place, and we don't know how we got there.
Right? Yeah.
And to me, the importance of what you're doing is it's not that we want to conclude anything. It's not that. But you're seeing how it works, how those various aspects come together to create, we could say, a reality or an experience, a perception.
Well, there wasn't really a story at all, and it wasn't like, there wasn't like a story. It was just the pain, and I was like, why am I feeling this again? And then it goes away, and then it comes up, and it goes away, and I was just like, I wonder if it has access to those memory of a pain, and it just brings it up. Maybe it was distracting me from something else, though. I didn't think of that by using, you know, this pain and all this. I'm drawn to this pain. I'm like, where did that come from? But there wasn't a bad story or anything. I just noticed, like, why am I feeling this?
Right. Well, and even noticing how we attention goes to something, and then we want to look to conditioned mind for an explanation, for a meaning to figure out what that is. Even that process is fascinating to see, to step back from and just notice, rather than getting caught up in it. Because when we get caught up in that sort of meaning making, then conditioning can really have its way with us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just
like
so interesting, isn't it?
Like learns, like, I'll just use that as a tactic to distract her. Because I notice that there's something, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have definitely seen it, like I have seen it very clearly use like a memory to distract me from, like if I'm having a good experience or something and I'm like really with the experience and like all of a sudden I'm thinking like 20 years ago and I'm like, wait a minute, that just and why? I don't want to think about that, and it's just like some random experience. I'm like, I don't want to go there,
Yes.
And I know that conditioning, like, maybe she'll think of this, and then it changes, maybe she'll think of that, and I'm like, no.
Yes, so what you're pointing at is really, really important, that incessant pull out of the present.
Yeah.
So you're here, you're in the experience, you want to be in the experience, and then you can watch the conditioned mind just into the past, into the future, into the past, into anywhere but here, anytime but now. Just get that attention distracted and off somewhere out of the present so that illusion of a separate self can appear to be real.
Right,
of course it isn't when you're just here.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems to be obsessed with, like, absolutely obsessed with thinking about itself, because it always wants to know, what's her reaction to this? And then it comes up with this story, like, when I go to sleep and then I wake up, it's got this play. Like, I think of it as a play. Like, I wake up and there's these actors on stage, and here I am to the new play that conditioning's come up with, and it's obsessed. It's like, what's her reaction? What's her reaction to this?
What do you think of it? How about this?
And on, because it wants some sort of reaction. Especially if you don't have any reaction at all, it tries everything in the world to get you to react, especially first thing in the morning. It's like, she has to react to my play. She has to react to my play, and it's just going on and on. And it'll do that for like...
And you're just watching it.
Yeah, and it's just like, you are completely insane. I just think that, and then I'm like, it's like, obsessed with itself or something. I don't know.
Well, I do. Okay, I do, and you're right. Ego is obsessed with itself. And what you're describing is the very worst thing that can happen to it, which is it's over there doing its shenanigans, and you're just observing it do that. That's very bad place for ego to be. So I applaud that behavior. Please keep it up. And just noticing that it is obsessed with itself and you don't need to be, right? So increasingly, you just notice its obsession and it's over there, its little stage over there off to the side somewhere, and you're able just to stay here in this moment present, not concerned about it, not worried about it, just enjoying being here. That's very good. All right, I know we're past our time, I'd love to keep talking with you, but call back again so we can talk more, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And we have come to the end of another show, Sherry.
I know we have, Michael. They just fly by, don't they? Pretty soon we're going to be up to 15 years, 16 years. Who knows? Don't you hope so? Just week after week,
20.
After week, we get to do this.
Yes.
20!
Yes.
What the heck?
Let's do 20.
All right.
Why not?
Thank you,
Sherry.
Michael. Talk to you next week. Good night.
Good night.